Reminder that it's Sunday, which is the Lord's Day. To those who are in conflict or having a rough time, it's not Satan's day, it's the Lord's Day. And from what I know, he has a particular fondness to bless us on his day. So we're going to believe for a blessing, aren't we? I can only echo my brother. I have no funny accent. They're all Liverpoolian. Okay, would you turn with me to Psalm 50? Psalm 50, and we're going to read two short verses. Psalm 50, verses 5 and 6. Gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. And the heavens shall declare his righteousness, for God is judge himself. I find it quite remarkable that these two verses that really hold a key to blessing should be in the midst of this psalm, where there's so much about the greatness of God, his love, his blessing, his goodness to those that fear him and are faithful, and at the same time his wrath against the wicked and the unfaithful and the rebellious. And here in the middle of it, as I say, we have these two verses which I feel can not only be an exhortation but a key to blessing to every church, a church that's in a bad way and needs restoration, one that's merely ticking over but not growing as they'd like to, or one that's doing well but wants to do really better. So we're going to have a look at these two verses and break them into four simple parts. First of all, gather together unto me. Secondly, who? My saints. Thirdly, what's more about them? Those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. And finally, the consequence of this, the heavens shall declare his righteousness. This word, gather, together unto me, it's a strong word. It speaks of unity. It speaks of togetherness, but in a real way. It's not a gathering casually, each one with his own idea, his own particular vision, and in discrepancy and in a superficial way. It means gathering together unto God and with real purpose. And this is the kind of thing that God needs, and he always has needed it, such a thing for blessing. I remind you of Pentecost. Before that, the disciples were at loggerheads, you know, John and James, wanting to be one on the right and one on the left of the Lord. And then the disciples arguing as to who was the best, who was number one among them. But then in Acts chapter 1, we read that all that was left completely to one side, and they were unanimously gathered in the upper chamber unto God. There wasn't a discordant note. There wasn't any jealousy or rivalry at all. It was just a gathering unto God. And one knows from experience that this, you might call it oneness or deep down unity, is one of the things that the enemy attacks the most, because he knows full well that if we're divided, if we're at loggerheads, the Holy Spirit, I'd almost say, is tied hands and foot. He can't do much, really. God needs a united people. And I want to bring this word in simplicity. There's no great depth in this, but it's one of these rock bottom, four of these rock bottom things, that either you have them and you're in blessing, or you don't have them, and you may have lots of other things, but you don't have these rock bottom fundamentals, and you'll never go very far. It's a gathering unto God, but a gathering from the depth, and in sincerity, and in faith, and unto a purpose. I'll just give you two examples. One might be a couple of brethren in Christ who come from different streams of the body, so they have different theological views, and they've had lots of heated arguments, you know, and they agree to differ every time. But then a persecution comes, and they're both imprisoned, and they happen to land in adjoining graves, adjoining cells. And there, believe you me, all the theological differences go by the board. They forget all about it, and they're really one in that common cause. I'll give you another example. Think of a married couple who have a dear little only son. Let's say he's 6 years old and he gets a very serious bout of meningitis or something like that. His life is in real danger. And mum and dad, now and again, they had their little tiffs and arguments and disagreements. But at this point, all that is laid down. And there are two things they'll do. One is to get on their knees and laying aside any hurt or any resentment from the past, they drop it completely, and with one heart, they cry to God for that little child, that God would save him. And secondly, they'll do all in their power to help the child, to comfort it. They'll watch through the night. They'll love him. They'll cuddle him. They'll see that he gets the best attention possible. They're absolutely at one in it. And I believe that's the kind of God, of oneness that God wants for us. Another point I'd like to make before going on, that there is a principle in God, although in the, shall I say, physical realm, you know, Paul tells us our outer man perishes. But in the spiritual, we're to be renewed day by day and go on from strength to strength, from glory to glory. Now, we have many, many promises to this end in the Word of God, like in Haggai, you get that very famous word, the glory of the latter temple shall be greater than that of the former. Then Proverbs tells us that the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more until the day is perfect. Moving around the churches as I do, mostly in Spain, but to some extent in the UK, there are areas where I see folk that were in blessing 5, 10, 15, 20 years ago. They were really red hot for God, burning with the flame of the love and the grace of God. But somehow, the wear and tear of years, disappointments, perhaps they've made mistakes, taken wrong steps, for one reason or other, and you realize they're still faithful, they're still plodding on, shall I say, but they're not any more than a pale reflection of what they were 5, 10 years ago. And perhaps some of them, or many, are reconciled to the idea, well, those were wonderful, glorious days, but that was the past, and now I'm just to languish or carry on in this, shall I say, mediocre, cool, cold way, call it what you like. Well, I want to say to every one of you that that is not God's purpose for any of you. It's not God's purpose for me. God wants us to go on from strength to strength, from glory to glory, from faith to faith. That doesn't mean to say, you know, we're going to get big ideas about ourselves, be a flaming evangelist, and just so get the multitude to admire us for all the mighty signs and wonders. But that in the economy of God, that which he has given us will grow and expand and get better and richer and more mature as the time goes on. So here, before going on, I lay this challenge. This is God's way for you, my brother, and for you, my sister, and for every single one of us. Not to go back in your memory to better days, but to look forward to better days from now on. Amen. Praise God. Amen. It's very important that we should have this very clear in our spirits. Otherwise, our vision gets dimmed. Our horizons are narrowed. And we don't want that. Right. So, gather together unto me. It's not to any particular place, although we meet here at 14 Devonshire Road, but a gathering together supremely unto the Lord, recognizing his living spirit is in our midst, and remembering that word of Paul in 1 Corinthians, where he says, he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Lord, I'm at one with you. All that you say, all that you are, all that you do, all that you allow, even those dark things I can't understand, but Lord, I know you're right in all you do. I'm at one with you. And of course, in saying this, to say it in real depth, you've got to be at one with your brother and sister. And that's, of course, in the nitty-gritty of church life, perhaps the toughest part of all, because we've all got our tender corns that can be so easily trodden. And Paul tells us in love we should bear one another. But remember what I said about the couple or about the two brethren. They had their heated arguments, but there came a point of time when they realized all that had to go. And once for all, they just had to be joined to the Lord, one with him, and one with each other, or one another. May I make another point? I trust it doesn't happen here, but there are some places where folk can feel, you know, by attending meetings, I was there Sunday morning and Sunday evening too, you're doing pastor, or you're doing the church a real favor. And I think we should see things in the right perspective. I trust no one, none of you reasons that way, but you see these walls and you see this place. You have some lovely chairs. It's beautifully decorated and lit up. But this didn't come out of nothing. It came out of sacrifice. Norman and the rest of the gang and the squad in those days, they really laid down their life in many, many ways to clear the debris. And there's been a lot of the hand going deep into the pocket to contribute financially and to make this possible. And then here again, without any great conceit, but this is a house of bread where you come to be fed. And this is a place when you need help, comfort, counsel, encouragement, it's made freely available to you. You're not sent a bill with the fees you charge. None of that is absolutely free. And you have brothers and sisters that make you feel at home, make you feel your family. And this is a great privilege. And at the same time, morally, it brings us to the obligation of corresponding, not just coming, but giving your best. You know, we're told in 1 Corinthians 12:18 that God has set every one in the body as he saw right. I'm not quoting word for word, but that's it. And this must be understood clearly. No visitor need be excluded in any way. But if you know that Devonshire Road is the place for you, then you know that it's where God has set you and where you want to stay. It's not a case, well, I like this place, but lately I find there isn't enough love, or Peter didn't hug me like he hugged the other brother, or that kind of thing. But you just come and you know that since God has set you in this place, you owe it to God, and you owe it to all your brethren and sisters and to the powers that be to give your best, to be an asset and not a liability. And that's only right. You can't have privileges without responsibility. And it's a healthy reminder. God expects you to give your best to 14 Devonshire Road. You know God has set you in this place, and you are to give your best. So that's the first point then. One could make say much more, but I don't want to be too lengthy. Gather together unto me. Then the next word is who. And we know that when we come into new life in Christ, we're lambs, we're sheep, we're believers, we're brethren, we're priests, we're kings, but we're also saints. And in this particular instance, the inspiration of the Holy Spirit has moved Asaph, the psalmist, to use this precise. He said, gather my believers, gather my lambs or my sheep, although we are all that and much more, but gather my saints. And that's because this is a second rock bottom fundamental that God needs, a clean and pure and saintly people, men and women, that God's done something inside their hearts so that there were things that in the past they kissed and they caressed and they loved, but they've come to see that they're of the pit, they're poison to their souls, they're diabolical, and there is an innermost hatred, a holy hatred that simply abhors that kind of thing, and at the same time a love for purity, for righteousness, for honesty right down the line in every possible way. And it reflects on one's looks, the look of the eyes, that there shouldn't be any of that old way of looking men in a way that women feel very uncomfortable, or vice versa, that all that's been banished is left to one side, and we look at one another with pure eyes, with absolute transparency. Sin is the thing that really will break the unity. Sin is the thing that Satan would introduce in the most subtle, crafty ways possible. We had it with Ananias and Sapphira. You'd think, in a way, you know, what's wrong with it? They sold their property, they got, say, 10,000 for it, but they felt they wanted to keep 5,000 in case things went wrong, and what's wrong with that? But in a very subtle way, there was a lie saying, I got 5,000 when they'd got 10,000. And it was a lie coming from the father of the lie. And Peter, who was filled with what? With the spirit of truth, he detected it right away. I remember many years ago, I was on the island of Ibiza, and in a Baptist church there, and nothing against the Baptists, there are some very precious Baptists. I have much fellowship with them, and I visit Baptist church quite a few, but in that particular one, there were some who smoked. And the moment the meeting was over, they'd go out to the door and smoke. And of course, never having smoked in my life, I was inside next to the pulpit, but I could immediately know who's smoking here. I'd look around, nobody. And then when I came out from the front door, a dear brother, shaking his right hand, and with his left one, hiding his cigarette, poor thing. I tell you, when you're filled with lungs that have breathed clean all your life, you detect the smoke of tobacco like anything. And if you, Peter was filled with that spirit of truth, and there was no hiding the lie. He said, "Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost?" Praise God, it's to do with our tongues. Let's have a look, without losing the page, at Zechariah chapter 7 and chapter 8. Zechariah chapter 7 and chapter 8. I'm just going to read a couple of verses. In chapter 7, verse 9, the last part of the verse, execute true judgment and show mercy and compassion, every man to his brother. And verse 10, the last part, verse 10, and let none of you imagine evil against his brother in your heart. And in chapter 8, verse 17, and let none of you imagine evil in your hearts against his neighbor. I'll read a bit further before I comment on that. We go in chapter 8, verse 14, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, as I thought to punish you when your fathers provoked me to wrath, saith the Lord of hosts, and I repented not, so again have I thought in these days to do well unto Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. Fear ye not. You see, here God expresses his disposition. I want to bless my people. And then he says in verse 16, these are the things that ye shall do. Speak ye every man the truth to his neighbor, execute the judgment of truth and peace in your gates. I find it striking, God says, look, I want to bless you. For that blessing to be possible, and you'd imagine, well, I want to pray more. I want you to pray more. I want you to fast, or I want you to go and do this and do that. But he uses the word speak. And an unguarded tongue is one of the most lethal things that right down the ages the devil has used to damage and destroy the work of God. I benefit very much in the days of Bible training center in the Argentine. There was a real gentleman, a refined man. He never married. His name was John Rice. He's with George Rice. He was with the Lord. And I worked alongside him for quite a bit as an apprentice, really. And whereas other missionaries, kind and nice as they were, but now and again that little slanted remark about someone or something they didn't like. But I think I can say, I never heard George Rice speak one word out of place. And that left a deep seed in me. I realized that being one with discretion, with a guarded tongue, wait before you speak. Don't be in a hurry. Don't be quick to find fault and condemn. Wait. Hold your spirit. That's very valuable. And when we get a loose tongue, whether it be to criticize, to find fault, to gossip, there you can be sure there's going to be trouble. The spirit is going to be grieved, and the work of God will suffer. So he says, speak the truth. By that it means much more than speaking the truth and not telling a lie. It means that we're to speak the truth of God and his wonderful love. The truth of the beauty we see in other brothers and sisters. We know some of them were in the dumps. I was a mess many, many years ago, and I thank God for the change in my life. And so many of you have been transformed. And instead of saying, well, he's still got a long way to go, fair enough, fair enough, I have a long way to go. But thank God for what he's done already. And speak the truth of faith, that God is still on the throne, that God is not on the retreat or in defeat, far from it. It's the devil that's absolutely defeated, and he's on the retreat. And we've got to learn to speak that truth to one another. You know, we're told one of the lovely 3:16s in Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament, then they that fear the Lord spoke often one to another. I can't quote you exactly, but the Lord heard, and the book of memories was opened, and there the angels' cries began to make entries. So and so, and so and so, and so and so. After the lunch table, they had a wonderful time of fellowship. They spoke about the goodness of the Lord. There wasn't one word of criticism, no moaning, no complaining, just praise, just giving glory to God. Oh boy, that's good. And the angels cry, writing, making the entry in golden characters. How about that? What are the angels going to write about your conversation today or yesterday or tomorrow? That's a question I leave for you. But what I'm saying from this, here God again declares his willingness, his great desire to bless, but he needs, obviously, our cooperation. And it majors on this matter of unity, of not imagining evil of our brother or of our neighbor, to banish thoughts and to be lovers and to be speakers of the truth of all that wide range of blessing we have from God. Back to Psalm 50 then. So it's gather together unto me, who my saints. Nothing affected, not in any way feeling holier than thou. I always like to stress that real holiness has a true ingredient of humility and meekness. Not arrogance, not think I'm any better or any special, Lord. I'm just a tiny little one. You've so graciously set your eyes on me and chosen to bless me, Lord, but I know that without your grace, perish the thought. Where would I have been? Where would I have landed? But now we come to the third point. Those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. And this is something also vital. We can't go about God's things in a half-hearted, lukewarm way. It's so easy at a given stage to feel, well, I fasted and I prayed and I've weathered so many storms and I've given my life so much, so it's time really to recline. And I want a life free from problems. I don't want any pressure. I don't want anything to disturb my peace. Just to recline in a very, very comfortable armchair and have a peaceful, wonderfully restful time. But of course, with that sort of life, we'd be no good to anyone. And we need to be tried. It brings out the best in us, and at the same time, it deals with the dross. And God is able to go deeper every time. When we're filled with the Spirit for the first time, there's really an emptying. But then there are further, deeper emptings in God. And this element of effort, sacrifice, is something very, very important. We can't inflict sacrifice or pain or even effort. Say, well, Lord, I realize you want sacrifice, So, okay, I'm going to run a mile or 10 times around the block, or I'm going to drag myself on my knees. You can't. It doesn't work that way. But it does work the way, first of all, you answer, taking to heart the counsel Jesus gave the Laodiceans. He said, I counsel you to buy of me gold tried through fire, refined through fire. Now, you can't light that fire, but if you really, really mean business, if God sees that you're in real earnest, believe you me, sooner or later, things will begin to happen, and some of them will take you for surprise, and some of them you'll say, oh Lord, I never thought it would work that way, Lord. I don't like this at all. And you might even begin to rebuke Satan. Look what he's doing to me. And the Lord said, but my child, didn't you ask me to get hold of your life and to refine you? And now that I begin to do it, you mistake me for Satan. You see, we can get things so wrong. I know there can be times when we're in disobedience or in bondage, and then it's the devil. But when we lay all the cards on the table and we really mean business with God, then God is real. And he comes first and not the devil. And he overrules in all our circumstances. The nice, easy, good, rosy ones, but the rough and the tough ones that really, really hurt. Something that makes me laugh. Sometimes we can be prepared for sacrifice, but at least there's something in self, you know, that the Lord has to deal inflexibly with it. If I have to suffer, if I have to be a martyr, fair enough, but let it be known by others. I remember when I was in the army in the Argentine many, many years ago, and I did things I'd never done before. You know, they'd get us up at 2 a.m. We had to harness the horses and go all over the place in the dark, and then come back about 8 o'clock to the beating of drums and have a breakfast and then work like mad, slog it away. I'd never done any such thing in my life. And I felt a real hero, and I felt a real martyr. But I had one big regret. You know what it was? My friends over there, miles away, have no idea that I'm an anonymous one, and I'd love them to know what a hero I am. And so, let me tell you that when God deals with you, it may well be that it's something that others won't notice. They'll think you're ordinary. You think you're doing well. But it will be a secret between you and the Lord, so that even that little area of self that wants to be notorious as the great hero, the great martyr, that is also dealt with. I can think of a lovely little example. I don't know if I've mentioned it here. I was sharing it with Ruth the other day about the oyster, that little creature that you find on the beaches, and sometimes, blown by the wind, a sharp particle of sand gets into the side, right? And the oyster can't brush it to one side like you or I will, so it begins to irritate, and it smarts. So the oyster secretes a serum that goes wrapping itself around that little particle of sand, and what happens? It brings forth beautiful pearls to enrich and beautify other lives. But the oyster, you don't get the television cameras, they don't hit the headlines. That little creature does it alone and unto God. And I'm sure God loves the oyster and blesses it. Yes, we want to be prepared to pay the price. May I make another point? As Peter knows full well, and every preacher knows, you daren't preach something you're not living. Now, I don't want to boast in any way, but I'm 83 years of age. I was 83 last Christmas Eve, said, time to pack up, Dick, stay at home. I have a lovely reclining armchair Sylvia gave me years ago, and when I get home, how I enjoy it. After a few minutes, I hear myself snoring, and I say, oh yes, I must be sleeping, I heard myself snoring. But none of that. I think I can say that God at present is requiring of me more than ever before. I don't say it boastfully. I know it's only the grace of God that sees me through. I'm no one made of oak or steel. I'm just all weakness. But that, in a way, is a great blessing, because, you know, if I were full of my own strength and I can cope with, the devil could easily make mincemeat of it. But the very fact that you know that you haven't got it in it, but you lean hard on the Lord, and that he never fails. And so it's not your own strength, but it's the Lord's strength, you see. So, it's the call, not only to live, coming together in great, deep down togetherness, as saintly men and women, but men and women prepared to pay the price. Now, don't be scared. God is very, very kind and wise. He will not allow you to be tried beyond your measure. There'll always be a grace to see you through. But you've got to be prepared, Lord, to lay down your own ways and just say, Lord, I don't want to be a poor miserable that's got nothing. He says, buy of me gold refined in fire, that ye may be rich. In other words, God wants every one of us to be rich. Not in the riches of this world, jewelry and a great, great bank account, millions and that sort of thing, but rich in God. That we have something of God that's distinctive and is known, it's come from above. And God's given it. And with that thing, we can be useful, we can encourage and heal the brokenhearted and go to the needy. And God has given something that has enriched our lives so that we might in turn enrich others. So we've got that. Before I go on, I'm not asking anyone to raise your hand, but just ask yourself the question, are you willing to tell God in real earnest, Lord, I want your gold. I'm ready to pay the price. I'm weak. I have no strength of my own, but I trust you. There'll be a grace to see me through, Lord. I don't want to be a poor, miserable wretch. I want to be rich in God. So we've got those first three points, and then the consequences, and the heavens shall declare his righteousness. And I'm going to tackle this by a simple, long question. Let's imagine that every one of you takes this word really to heart. What I've heard this morning, Lord, that's your will for me. Sorry I've been mediocre, sorry I've been lazy or sluggish, Lord, but I really want to be in oneness with my brethren, gathered unto you like never before. And I want to be absolutely in white every day of my life, Lord. And I'm ready to pay the price. And the all-seeing spirit, you know, he's a seven-eyed one. Nothing escapes him, and he looks at every individual home. I'm not naming any of you, but he looks at your home and yours. What a change. 1 week and I haven't heard any gossip, any complaint. There's no more wasting time over unprofitable films or conversation that's completely out of place or out of turn. And instead of that, there's a loving one another fervently. Every moment is redeemed to pray, to praise, to invest in the things of God. And God sees it in your home, in your life. Raymond said, I know, Raymond and Ruth too, and in mine too. Now my question is, do you think God will stay with his arms crossed and do nothing about it? He is a righteous judge, and the heavens will show his righteousness. I don't say you're going to raise the dead. I don't say you're going to become a mega church, but I do say that if this really operates in every one of you, a blessing such as you have never known before, one way or other will come your way. God is not an unrighteous judge. And when his people wholeheartedly seek him. Now I know in some cases there are some who have, shall I say, bondages or needs that are preventing them from this. But I believe God, in his hour of mercy, can break those chains and set you free so that you can really come unto him and give yourself totally. Right, excuse my repetition, but then we have the 4 points, right? A gathering together unto him, and one another knitly close together, as truly saintly men and women that walk and live in white, ready to pay the price, and God, righteous, merciful, kind. He says, well, that's just how I wanted my people to be. I'm not holding back my blessing. My purpose is to bless you, and I'm so glad you're in this place where I can bless you, and I do it with all my heart. I do it generously and extravagantly so that you will prove that the latter end is better than the former. I'm believing for that for myself. I've had wonderful days in the past, but Lord, I'm expecting more. I'm expecting better. Not to be a great guy in the center, none of that nonsense, but Lord, something deeper and sweeter and more mature and more blessed. And let me repeat, that's the purpose of God for every one of you. He doesn't want one single. These, by the way, I understand are the trustees. I would like to give an opinion. In these trustees, in this, you have a jolly good eldership, brother.
Okay. Say, I'm not a trustee, but
you're not a trustee. Well, you're leading, so you want to. Now let's move back, and I want to ask all the rest of you who know you belong to Deborah, come and fill this gap, Raymond, over here, to come along in a togetherness unto God concerning what we've heard. You know you belong to Devonshire Road. All right, then, if it's right in your heart, if you feel that God would have you do this and respond, then I challenge you to come forward. Amen. For us to pray together. I see. Amen.
Amen. Jesus.
Come right up, fill every gap, we don't bite.
Hallelujah.
Amen. 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 Mm. And without in any way excluding any other of the brethren who'd like to pray, but I want to pray as having received this word from God, to pray that the dear Spirit will write it on the table of your hearts and burn it with fire.
Amen.
But we need one another. And having done this, I'd like 2 chairs to be brought for Sylvia and me to sit in your midst. and you all pray for
Amen.
Us. We need your prayers Amen. Too to carry on at our age, 83 and 81. We need one another. So it's a two-way thing.
Yes, amen.
Amen.
Jesus.
Now, you cues repetition, but you've got it quite clear. A gathering in oneness unto the Lord. In oneness with your brother and sister. Those rotten comments, those slanted remarks, that criticism, that banish forever, recognize it bears the poison of hell. It pollutes and damages. So no more of that. No more of that. Saintly men and women.
Glory to God.
After the image of our blessed Christ. Prepared to pay the price, Lord, because you are worthy.
Yes, sir.
You suffered so much for us, Lord. How can we possibly say no to the little bit of sacrifice you demand from us? Father, we are before thee now.
Jesus.
We pray that by the Spirit thou wilt solemnize these moments, and that these truths, Lord, that come from thy blessed word, as has been said, will be inscribed upon the tables of our heart, O God, by thy precious Spirit. Lord, that holy fire of God will burn them into us, Lord. Oh, hallelujah, Lord, and we'll be a united people,
hallelujah.
A holy people,
hallelujah.
A people paying the price. And oh, we shall prove that the heavens shall declare his righteousness.
Hallelujah.
Heaven will say, I'm blessing that people.
Hallelujah.
And oh God, I'm aware that for some it's tough because there are needs that have not been met.
Jesus.
There are chains that need been broken. And now, Lord,
Jesus,
we want to be bold and in the name of Jesus.
Jesus.
Oh, speak, Lord, the end of these bondages, Lord. The chains shall be broken.
Amen.
Oh, Father, and that each one of us will be free, O God, to go for you with all our hearts and to prove you, Lord, side by side in the Spirit for your highest and your best. Lord, we believe you have better things for us.
Yes.
We believe your way is forward and
Amen.
Upward.
Amen.
Never
Amen.
Stagnation.
Amen.
Never backward. Never downward.
Amen.
Forward and upward, Lord.
Amen.
And so unto this, Lord, with firm resolve, we respond to thee. We say, yes, Lord. That's the way we want to go. That's the way we're going, Lord.
Amen.
Seal it by thy Spirit, Lord. Help us. And oh God, may we everyone prove what you tell us in the word, that the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more until the day is perfect. Amen.
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 Thank you, Lord. We say yes, Lord. We say yes, Lord. We say yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Amen, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Lord Jesus, we do truly need your help. Go forward, Lord. Lord, and to see a new horizon, Lord Jesus, to know that you're working. Lord Jesus, and to follow you. Lord, we love you for this time together. In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I wonder if the two chairs could be brought.
Can we have two chairs?
Yes, please. For two very senior citizens. Yes, thank you. Thank you, dear brother. Thank you.
What did to give you a hug when you came in. I wanted to give you a hug when you came in.
Yes.
There's plenty of space for everyone who wants to be with us and pray for Dick and Sylvia. Hallelujah. Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
I just want to ask you, Lord, that if it's at all possible, if you would make a way for them to become part of us.
Jesus.
Opening up a pathway, Lord, into Gorslands.
Jesus.
Father, if it be thy will.
Oh, Jesus.
Father. Lord.
Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Lord, we understand, Lord. We've heard Lord, your Jesus. Heart, Lord. Lord, that the way of the righteous is something that comes from you. Something that speaks of you. Lord, and you are the eternal God.
Father, Father.
Lord, and you are going to bring us, Lord, into the place, O God, where we have left our bodies and are together
Hallelujah.
With you in eternity.
Hallelujah.
And for eternity.
Thank you, Lord.
You're never going to run out. You're never going to run dry. Mm-hmm. You're never going to have to
Hallelujah.
Repeat something. Because you
Jesus.
Are the eternal God.
Hallelujah.
Amen. So we, Lord, as your people gathered here, with delight, want to lift, Lord, our brother and sister.
Yeah.
We want to lift Dick and Sylvia
yeah,
to
Lord.
You. To say, Lord, increase your blessing
Thank you, yes.
in them.
Thank you, Lord.
And through them. Lord, grant expression, Lord, of that word which comes from heaven. Lord Jesus. Lord, thank you for the years that have gone past. Thank you, Lord, for the blessings of the past. Thank you for the way that you've spoken in the past. Oh, but Lord, we do believe
yes,
that you have preserved the best
yes.
yet ahead.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you,
Hallelujah.
Lord.
Hallelujah. We pray for them, Lord,
yes.
that you would endue them with strength. That you would take their weakness.
Yes, Lord, yes.
Lord, and through it, prove your strength. Lord, I personally want to come and say thank you to you
yes.
for your ministry to me
yes.
through our brother and sister. Lord, thank you for the times that have been hard. Thank you for the times that have been challenging. But thank you, Lord, in it all, through it all, there's been you
yes,
communicating.
Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, we love you.
And we so thank you for today.
Yes.
Lord, and we say, yes, Lord, indeed, this is the best yet. Lord, make it yet greater, we
yes.
pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Lord, I want to thank you for Sylvia and Dick. Lord, I want to thank you for the early days and the time we spent with Dave Weatherly and Mr. North and Norman. Lord Jesus, and thank you for what we've heard today about going on, Lord.
Amen.
Lifting our faces, lifting our eyes, Lord Jesus. Thank you for all that they brought to us, the inheritance they gave us. Lord Jesus, we love you, and we thank you for them dearly. Lord, and we just pray for their health. We pray for their to give them strength, Lord, in their weakness.
Hallelujah.
Lord, as they truly need to, at some stage, retreat, but Lord, not from your strength. Mm. Lord, not from your honor, not from your glory.
Mm.
Lord, that you will take them on into the paths that you've prepared for them. Mm. Lord, and as Peter's prayed, Lord Jesus, that,
Father,
Lord, that we'll see each other in eternity.
Amen.
And we love you for this,
Hallelujah.
Lord. Lord, that as we see each other in the body now, Lord Jesus, we'll see each other in the spirit, Lord Jesus, later on. And as we heard, Lord, the body grows old, Lord Jesus, but the spirit is renewed day by day. Lord Jesus, and we thank you and love you.
Hallelujah.
Bless them, we pray, Lord.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
For more opportunities.
Amen.
We thank you for the great nation of Spain, Lord. And we pray for the other nations around it, Lord. We pray, Lord, that your word would go forth, Lord, in those nations, Lord, in this nation, Lord. We pray we'll be men of courage and women of courage.
Amen.
And young people of courage.
Amen.
Amen.
I thank you, Jesus, for this church. It has no walls, because the church is the people, Lord. And I thank you, Lord. Lord, that you chose 12 men to start the church. Lord, and you chose women as well, Lord.
Jesus.
Through Dick, Lord, and Sylvia, Jesus. And others, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, that we have the freedom, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Pray, Lord, that we will be firm and stand, Lord, for you, Jesus. And against, even now, Lord, against oppression, Lord, against people that would shout down our words and your words, Jesus. We pray we'll be men of courage and women of courage.
Amen.
And young people of courage.
Amen.
I thank you, Jesus, for this church. It has no walls, because the church is the people, Lord. I thank you, Lord. Lord, that you chose 12 men to start the church. Lord, and you chose women as well, Lord. But you chose 12 men, Lord. And were they perfect? No. Did they know everything? No. Did they have faith? Sometimes. We just thank you, Lord, that the people here, Lord.
Jesus.
Lord, the people you've chosen. Holy you goodness. Are building your church. Amen. You are building it.
Amen.
Lord, I thank you for that. So, Lord, we thank you for this encouragement, Lord, that we are your disciples, Lord.
Jesus.
And we don't know everything, and we can't know everything, Lord. And we're not perfect, Lord. We do what we can, Lord. And we live
Praise
for you,
God.
Jesus. Help us to do that. Help us all to do that, Lord.
Praise God.
Lord, and we are weak, Lord. And we need you.
God.
So help us to cry out to you, Lord. That's the one thing we need to do. As a baby cries out to his parents for comfort and for help, Lord, that's all we need to do is cry out to you, Jesus.
Yeah.
And to be disciplined, Lord, and to listen to you, Lord, and to do what you say, Jesus. Help us to do that, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you for this place.
Hallelujah.
Bless them, Lord.
Amen.
Take them on, Jesus. Thank you for their leaders, Lord.
Jesus. Hallelujah.
We are gathering together unto him.
We are gathering together unto him. Unto him shall the gathering of the people be. We are gathering
Hallelujah, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you. Jesus.
Hallelujah. God chorus, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, is it God, oh, Peter?
Is it Our God Reigns?
Pardon?
Our God Reigns, is it? No.
The one I was singing this morning. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Our God Reigns, is it that one?
Our God Reigns.
Overall. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, our God reigns. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah.